Appendix A, Sustainment Planning Factors. Appendix A of ATP 4-91 provides the user with sustainment planning factors. Most of the information is contained in tables and is not compatible with the audiobook format. This information is contained in current staff planning manuals, FMS Web, Operational Logistics Planner, and other Combined Arms Support Command Develop data. Planning factors take into account various environments, echelons, and activities. Planners should modify or adjust these standard planning factors based on the latest logistics preparation of the battlefield assessments or other unique conditions associated with a given operation or AO. The data in this appendix is based on current operational planning factors, and planners should understand there are many variables that affect the data, and there are no fixed inputs. Planners must analyze all mission and operational variables in determining inputs. Sustainment planners should start with these planning factors and then adjust them based on considerations, including the unit's particular circumstances, task organization, and historical usage factors. Table A1 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 provides general supply planning data for each class of supply, specifically regarding the weight of each commodity and its packaging configuration. Class 1 Rations Planning Factors. Sustainment planners use personnel numbers when determining Class 1 ration planning requirements. The planning factors for Class 1 are solely derived from the supported unit's headcounts. Based on task organization, Class 1 planners should also determine the number of joint and coalition forces that should be included in the feeding plan. Planners may also need to potentially consider other categories of personnel in the Class 1 planning factors and headcount, such as Department of the Army civilians, Army and Air Force Exchange Service personnel, morale, welfare, and recreation, Red Cross, non-government organizations, contractors, local hire personnel, and enemy prisoners of war. Table A2 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 provides the transportation planning factors for meals ready to eat. The issue cycle is the number of days of rations the Class 1 points issue to their supported units each time they draw rations. The issue cycle is expressed in a three-number combination, such as 223, 222, or 444. For example, on a 222 issue cycle, the Class 1 point will issue 2 days of rations during each issue, and the supported unit will draw rations every other day. An example of a 223 issue cycle is a unit drawing 2 days of rations on Monday, 2 days of rations on Wednesday, and 3 days of rations on Friday, with the cycle starting over again on the following Monday. All supported units are not necessarily issued rations on the same days. The number of supported units issued rations each day depends upon the size of the Class 1 point and the number of units it supports. Class 1 planners will establish the issue cycle based on the ration cycle, tactical requirements, for example, convoy security, distribution capabilities, and storage capabilities at each level. The ration cycle specifies the type of rations to be served for each meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The ration cycle is published in the sustainment annex of the op ord and is normally expressed as a three-letter combination, such as Mike, 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 or Uniform, Mike, Uniform. Meal ready to eat equals M. Unitized group ration, also known as UGR, equals U. Further guidance on which type of unitized group ration, heat and serve, H&S or A ration, will also be stated. The operational commander approves the ration cycle, which is the ration standard that all supported units will follow. For more information about Class 1 planning factors, see ATP 4-41. Additionally, planners must understand the lift capacity and number of pallet positions for supply vehicles in the Army inventory. Table A3 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 shows the number of pallet positions, standard wooden warehouse pallets, for different vehicles, flat racks, and containers, and the associated number of meals that would equate to in meals ready to eat. Class 1 planners can use ration planning to assist in determining transportation and storage requirements. When unitized group rations, heat and serve, and unitized group rations, option A, are employed, tonnage and cube figures will vary depending on the menu number. Data is also affected by the use of the milk supplement and authorized enhancements. Class 1 managers should know that tonnage and cube figures will be greatly affected based on the ration mix and ration cycle. The type of rations used will determine the weight and space used to transport the subsistence. Table A4 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 shows the ration pallet planning factors for different types of rations. Table A5 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 shows general Class 1 transportation planning factors for meal types that are different from meals ready to eat. The table specifically shows planning information for unitized group rations, heat, and serve. Table A6 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 shows Class 1 vehicle lift capacity planning factors for unitized group rations, heat, and serve, based on the type of vehicle used to transport the Class 1 and the number of pallet positions available in each vehicle type. Water production and consumptions factors. Planning for water support begins with determining the amount and quality of water required. This will depend on mission guidance from the tactical commander, mission scope, mission duration, stage of operation, OE, enemy seaburn capabilities, and size of the force. These water planning factors enable sustainment planners to assess capabilities and identify water purification, storage, and distribution requirements to support military force projection operations. There is no formal supply accountability for water. In regions with an extreme environment, the commander may issue water restriction guidance to conserve and prioritize water supplies. All levels of command must monitor the quantity and quality of water. Potable water is required for drinking, ice, food preparation, medical treatment, personal hygiene, mortuary affairs, and certain types of seaburn decontamination operations. Preventive medicine personnel may approve the use of non-potable water for certain activities. If non-potable water is used, it is preferable to use fresh water whenever possible. Brackish and salt water are minimally acceptable and may lead to significant corrosion if used. Non-potable water falls into different classes based on filtration and is suitable for laundry, engineer construction, aircraft maintenance, vehicle and cargo washing, firefighting, dust and pest control, and certain types of seaburn decontamination operations. For more information on water operations and water planning factors, see ATP 4-44 and MCRP 3-17.7 Quebec. Table A7 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 depicts water production assets, allocation of water assets, and consumption factors. It lists the current equipment in the Army inventory that produces water and its capacity to produce or store water. The type of environment where operations take place will significantly impact water consumption planning factors. The four types of environments, tropical, arid, temperate, and cold, each present different planning considerations. The planning factors in Table A8 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 account for each type of environment. Tropical areas of the world have an annual mean daily temperature of more than 80 degrees Fahrenheit. In tropical regions, water sources are expected to be abundant. Arid areas of the world have an annual daily temperature of more than 80 degrees Fahrenheit. In arid regions, available water sources are typically limited and widely dispersed. Temperate areas of the world have an annual mean daily temperature ranging from 32 degrees to 80 degrees Fahrenheit. In temperate regions, water sources are normally abundant. Cold areas of the world have an annual mean daily temperature of less than 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Location and exploitation of water sources convenient for water supply operations may be difficult in cold environments. For more information on water operations and planning factors, see ATP 4-44 and MCRP 3-17.7 Quebec. The planning factor for potable ice is based on 2 pounds per soldier per day in a temperate climate, 32 to 80 degrees Fahrenheit, and up to 6 pounds per soldier per day in hot tropic and arid climates, more than 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Planners can adjust these figures to operations based on actual unit demands. Water requirements planning is necessary regardless of theater location. Sustainment planners should start with these planning factors and then adjust them based on considerations such as the unit's particular circumstances, task organization, and historical usage factors in addition to mission variables. Table A8 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 provides planning factors for water consumption based on the type of operation and climate for operations. Fuel planning factors for Class 3 bulk. Table A9 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 shows the fuel consumption rate for vehicles in the Army inventory for 1 hour of operation. The table provides historic averages for fuel consumption while the vehicle sits idle with the engine running, driving cross-country over uneven terrain, and on hard paved roadway surfaces. The corresponding tables in the printed version of ATP 4-91 show consumption planning factors from the Combined Arms Support Command Planning Data Branch. For more up-to-date Class 3 bulk planning factors, consider Operational Logistics Planner and Unit Historical Data. Table A10 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 shows the estimated daily maximum and average fuel consumption for specific units and is shown to help in initial planning efforts. Ammunition planning factors. Ammunition consumption is determined by computing ammunition requirements versus capabilities. The goal of ammunition consumption calculation is to determine a viable stockage objective for tactical ammunition support activities, thereby avoiding stockpiling in forward locations while efficiently rearming the force. A stockage objective is the quantity of munitions required to ensure all training and operations in a theater can be conducted until resupply occurs. Properly calculating and adhering to stockage objectives enables freedom of action, reduces the hazards of stockpiling, and economizes limited resources. Planning factors required for determining ammunition consumption include the ammunition basic load, daily estimated expenditure rate or RSR, and resupply capability or CSR within the context of the proposed or ongoing operation and operational time frame. The RSR is subtracted from the projected resupply capability expressed as a CSR. The on-hand balance is added to the result in order to determine the projected balance. This calculation is utilized to determine if the CSR can meet the RSR. Any delta to this result that cannot be met will require resolution prior to start of operations. Balance plus resupply CSR minus expenditure RSR equals projected balance. The RSR indicates how much ammunition is needed for an operation and is an expression of operational requirements from supported units. It is a communication of warfighting requirements, not logistics capabilities. To sustain tactical operations for specific periods, units determine their munitions requirements and submit an RSR. The RSR is the amount of ammunition that a maneuver commander estimates will be needed to sustain tactical operations without ammunition expenditure restrictions over a specified time. The RSR is expressed as rounds per weapon on hand per day, a bulk allotment per day, or per unit mission. Units route the RSR computations through unit operation sections, and unit S4 sections assist in the process. Maneuver commanders develop RSR and submit them to their next higher headquarters. Each level reviews, adjusts, and consolidates RSR information. Commanders determine the CSR by comparing the total unrestricted ammunition requirements to the total ammunition assets on hand or due in. Several factors limit the amount of ammunition available for an operation, such as mission objectives, priorities, the projected threat, and ammunition availability. A commander establishes the CSR, which is based on the amount of munitions available for issue. A CSR is established when the RSR exceeds the capability of the munition support system. Several factors limit the amount of ammunition available for an operation, such as stockage or lift capabilities. Other considerations for emplacing CSRs are for the priority weighting of main and supporting efforts, economizing limited resources, and the reduction of the hazards of stockpiling. CSRs control ammunition issues. The Army Service Component Command gives subordinate commanders the CSR for each ammunition item. The CSRs may vary from unit to unit based on the mission objectives, priorities, projected threat, and ammunition availability. Each maneuver commander gives the CSR to each subordinate maneuver commander. Commanders making CSR allocations to subordinate units should retain a portion of the CSR to meet unforeseen contingencies. Properly calculating and adhering to stockage objectives enables freedom of action, reduces the hazards of stockpiling, and economizes limited resources. When determining a stockage objective, units must also take logistics factors such as storage space and transportation capabilities into account. For more information on ammunition planning factors, see ATP 4-35. Transportation planning factors. The following planning factors are used in transportation planning to compute vehicle and truck requirements. Operational and mission variables may affect these factors, and sustainment planners must take these variables into consideration. Line haul and local haul operations. The Army's family of MTVs, Heavy Expanded Mobility Tactical Truck Series, such as the Load Handling System and PLS versions, M915 tractor trucks, and others, are capable of both local and line haul operations. The distance of a line haul leg is based on a 10-hour shift per driver and 1 hour of delay. Using this planning factor, each driver can complete one round trip per shift. This eliminates the need for billeting drivers away from their assigned unit, provides rested drivers for each trip, and allows for vehicle maintenance. The planning factors for line haul operations are 2 trips per day, 1 round trip per shift, approximately 144 kilometers or 90 miles each way per shift. The planning factors for local haul operations are 4 trips per day, 2 round trips per shift, approximately 34 kilometers or 20 miles each way per shift. The planning factors for the average speed for both local haul and line haul transportation operations are 32 kilometers per hour or 20 miles per hour over good road conditions, 16 kilometers per hour or 10 miles per hour over poor road conditions. Movement planning factors for vehicle tactical road marches. Transportation planning factors are basic to the process of planning and organizing convoys. These factors provide the formulas and information necessary to plan highway movements and develop movement tables. Movements are measured by calculating how long it takes to move a convoy over a route. These calculations involve time and distance factors. Movement planners should use rate of march in performing movement calculations. The rate of march is the average number of kilometers expected to be traveled in any specific time period. Since the rate of march is an average, it compensates for short periodic halts and short delays caused by congestion. It does not include long halts, such as those for consuming meals or for overnight stops. March rate is expressed in kilometers per hour or miles per hour. Combining these tonnage and distance data, sustainment planners assemble a workload model or diagram as shown in Figure A1 in the printed version of ATP 4-91. Such a requirement sketch, along with the supporting data estimates, aid planners in determining and assembling the units and other necessary resources. Planners can compare workload of the materiel and transportation requirements against the design capabilities of logistical units by type. Effective staffs at BCT through Corps must understand the complexity involved in moving large formations, the amount of road space such formations require, their rates of fuel consumption, and other considerations for such movements under varying conditions and circumstances. The fighting power and tactical flexibility of heavy and motorized formations depends fundamentally on their ability to move and to do so efficiently. Efficiency, control, and coordination become more important than raw speed. Corps, divisions, and BCTs are powerful weapons when they can move, deploy, and maneuver quickly in fluid situations. To realize this potential, they must have the space to march and maneuver along multiple routes and avenues of approach and have sufficient march time allotted. Moving a typical corps by tactical road march involves moving some 25,000 vehicles, which, at a 100-meter vehicle interval, would require 2,500 kilometers of road space. The pass time on a single route at 25 kilometers per hour, even without march units and serial gaps, would be more than 4 days. Conducting tactical operations, units must march on multiple routes at the greatest speed, making the most economical and efficient use of road space. Increasing the number of routes adds flexibility and speed, although mutual support among moving formations must be assured. Economizing road space requires greater vehicle density on routes in use, a function of shorter intervals between vehicles, march units, and serials. Figure A2 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 shows an example of convoy serials, march units, and march columns. Tactical and sustainment mobility. Tactical mobility is the ability for units to displace personnel and equipment during combat operations in order to survive enemy threats, maintain momentum, and extend operational reach. Achieving tactical mobility varies based upon unit composition. Based upon operational requirements, units will require external support from EAB transportation enablers. A BCT with organic equipment takes 3 turns over the course of 24 hours to displace 25 to 30 miles. Displacing the DSB without external transportation support requires 6 to 8 turns and 48 to 72 hours. The total time for a division task organized with enablers and 3 BCTs to displace is 11 days. The DSB is unable to conduct sustainment operations while displacing. Additionally, without augmentation, the BSB will have to pull supplies from the DSB. Pulling supplies from the BSB limits the senior tactical commander's flexibility and the ability to seize and maintain momentum. An example of a unit requiring additional external transportation support would be an infantry BCT. An infantry BCT is unable to move all of its organic personnel and equipment in one move. To move its organic personnel and equipment, it requires an additional 70 MTVs for troop transport, 8 load handling systems with PLS trailers, and 14 M1088 trucks with M172 trailers. Assuming it would take 3 turns to complete movement, it requires an additional 24 MTVs, 3 load handling systems with PLS trailers, and 5 M1088 trucks with M172 trailers. Moving a distance of 15 kilometers over unimproved surfaces and not taking into account enemy threat would take approximately 30 minutes and an estimated 30 minutes to load and unload personnel and equipment. It would take an estimated 6 hours to get the remainder of the infantry BCT from its starting point to its destination using 3 turns. Sustainment mobility is the ability to move all classes of supply from the DSA to the forward line of own troops. A DSB requires 140 palletized load systems to hold and store 1 day of supply for organic BSBs and provide limited distribution to EAB units operating in the division's AO. The DSB's composite truck company requires augmentation to support sustainment mobility. Without augmentation, the composite truck company's capacity is consumed with supporting tactical mobility. The lack of augmentation requires BSBs to pull supplies from the DSA instead of receiving supplies from the DSB. The forward support companies, in turn, must then pull supplies from the brigade support area and push supplies to the forward line of own troops multiple times a day. This method limits the division's operational reach to 100 to 145 miles. Class 6 planning factors. Class 6 supply support can be limited to basic health and comfort items or expanded to include food and beverages and entertainment items. Army personnel normally deploy with required minimum health and comfort items. The Army's service component commander may authorize the issue of health and comfort packs through the supply system until Army and Air Force exchange service support can be established. Delivery of health and comfort packs is based on the headcounts provided for field feeding. Health and comfort packs provide everyday necessities when the Army and Air Force exchange service is not available. Table A11 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 provides some planning factors for Class 6 and health and comfort packages. Mail planning factors. The planning factor for mail is 1.75 pounds per soldier per day to determine the estimated mail volume. One 20-foot container equals 8,000 pounds, and one 40-foot container equals 16,000 pounds of mail in most instances. For more information about mail operations and planning for mail operations, see FM10. Seaburn planning factors. Operations in seaburn environments rely on sustainment capabilities. the sustainment of protection capabilities, consumables for seaburn detection, and identification equipment requires detailed planning. Seaburn operations require intense water sustainment, resupply of decontaminants, vehicle replacement parts, and medical chemical defense material. Medical and sustainment units must be postured to support units operating in contaminated environments and when conducting decontamination. Support areas are likely targets for seaburn attack and must plan appropriately to protect supplies from contamination. The DSB's capability to resupply impacts the capability to conduct decontamination or sustain operations in contaminated environments. Measures must be taken to prevent contamination of any supplies during movement, using uncontaminated routes if available. Clean water will be of the utmost importance in seaburn environments. Prior planning must take into account how to protect water supplies before attacks, such as covering tanks or purification systems. After an attack, systems must be decontaminated where possible and tested to ensure they are safe. Plans must be made for resupplying critical water needs for sustained operations of both drinking water and water for decontamination. Table A12 in the printed version of ATP 4-91 provides some basic planning considerations for sustainment in seaburn environments.